Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We're heading into transforming worry from its unhealthy, or I want to think of it more as a role that's just been overly personalized, and it creates a little bit of confusion. Confusion in Spanish literally translates to being with fusion, so something's like stuck or fused together. And often it just needs some time and some space surrounding it to help it to loosen up around its edges and open up some opportunities for something new to be navigated. Yeah. Now, the healthy expression where it's not so personal would be that of clarity. So worry energy is actually meant to support your mind in being really coherent, harmonized, and clear. So worry energy in particular here in houses 3 and 4, which work with the stomach and the spleen meridians, which regulate or govern our stomach, conscious mind, spleen, subconscious mind, levels of consciousness in the mind as entirety, is a really potent pairing here. And I know I talked about this a little bit on Grief Week, because I thought we were heading into worry a little bit early. And it's so funny, today I could have sworn we were heading into grief. So there's something about those two sessions. I'm not sure how they're going to play together, but there's something that seems to just sync up in my tuning in on some level of awareness that I cannot rationally explain in any way, shape, or form. But I'm going to mention it here because it might bear some significance. So there might be some sort of a connection between those two sessions. All right, my loves, without further ado, I'm going to invite you to find a nice, quiet, cozy place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session. Beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to really savor, to really pause, to notice, to drink this in. And in this very small way, we begin to offer the brain the possibility of tuning into not just things that are necessary for survival, but are here to offer a sense of ease, of beauty, of pleasantness. I haven't used this expression for a while, but moves us out of survival mode to thrive. And as we settle on in within that, I'm going to invite you to do that even more intentionally now. Whether you do that outward or inward with eyes open or closed, however you wish, we invite your gaze outwardly or inwardly to go for a little bit of a tour around your space. So let it begin to check out things in your environment. And as you go for a wander, letting your gaze ultimately come to a landing point on one particular object that just really jumps out. Noticing the qualities that you like about this. and drinking in what feels good to be with here. Mindfully receiving those qualities, breathing them in, noticing how your body responds. And savoring all letting yourself really steep in the ease, the pleasantness, the beauty of it all. And as you do so, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to you being here exactly as you are. Thank you to this earth that holds us, nourishing us, grounding us, connecting us to life. Thank you to this sky above, reminding us what it is to have space, room, vastness, that carries all the way into the air, moving through our very lungs, pulsing through our veins. Thank you to the fire that connects us to the beyond and animates our very spirit and expression. And thank you to the water pouring through us, connecting us to our deepest emotions and consciousness alike, reminding us what it is to be fluid, still, deep presence. We ask that today's session offer the highest information, learnings, awarenesses, insights available with it grace. And we ask that it be of service to all my friends here, along with their families, their ancestors, and their lineage. Om. Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. As we start today's session off, there's an area just above the left side of the heart, a little over and up, sometimes referred to as the compassion center. We might think of it as like the wing of the heart. And on the left side, the image that I have is just like of a wing that's trying to open up fully, but can't quite fully expand. There's a sense of bound energy that's derived from protection out of fear of being hurt. And there's a part here that is, let me find my words. It's interesting, it's jumping around a little bit. And the protector part here is protecting the lymphatic flow in this area. The lymphatic flow is carrying like a fear of being judged, exiled, ostracized, and rejected. And the protector part, I got the jumping around part now. It's actually really quick-witted. It's actually really quick to move. It's actually the part of you that knows how to mock or be sarcastic. And when I tune into the protector part, it actually looks really malnourished, as does, honestly, the other part that it's protecting. Okay. So, we're going to bring in nourishment in the form of actual, like, food. So whatever you consider to be, like, really deeply nourishing food, like, that feels just really good in your body, not because it's, like, your favorite food that's, like, fast food or something that makes you feel a little bit sick afterwards, but the thing that just leaves you feeling, like, really satiated and really deeply nourished. It might even be, like, a really simple meal. Whatever that is, for me, I love eggs. Forgive if you're a vegetarian or a vegan. And the simple nourishing egg feels really potent in my system. So whatever that is for you, I'm just gonna invite you to imagine that those parts of you actually get to receive that. As that happens, we're gonna run lymphatic drainage along with hydration, helping the cells to take that nourishment in and use it to flush out the lymphatic system. Draining your toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And in doing so, moving through a fair amount of layers of fear, of terror, of shame is intermingled in here as well. As is anxiety, which is some part fear, some part worry. And as I say the worry parts, the energy now is going into the right leg. And it's like the part that's fearful of being exiled, ostracized. Its right leg is really retracted back. It's like holding on for dear life. So we're just going to support it in opening up through the psoas muscle, the iliopsoas, that is that muscle between low back and hip. Excuse me. And as we open up the iliopsoas, unwinding a fair amount of layers of adhesion, running the permissions. And the words are interesting here. I'll unpack them. I'll say the expression first. I don't have to collapse here. What that means is being able to release and let go without necessarily just like playing dead, but by means of holding its own fancy word, vagal tone, handing, well, not handing, pardon me, finding like the sweet spot in the middle. Not too much, not too little. Is release the tension, not going into extreme, well, extreme relaxation, for lack of a better term, in a way that lets us kind of like check out, but being able to be both relaxed and present at the same time, for lack of better wording. Those last two really sum it up, finding the stability between both relaxed and present. And as that happens, there's a wood element piece here showing up with rigidity, carrying a sense of overtness, a sense of having to be overly responsible. And it's going into times in which you had to be responsible at a young age for your peer group. I'm sort of getting like the flash of in my elementary school where I grew up in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. They had classroom monitors, meaning like I'm forgetting what we all did, but like I think we made sure people were in like a line or something, and to use like the pencil sharpener or whatever. Things like that, like little things. But to that little self who did that, who took on that responsibility, or maybe things like being a crossing guard or being a babysitter at a time when you like just didn't feel quite comfortable taking that all on. But like a time in which you were responsible for basically other children that might have been within a few years of your own age. Maybe you were a reading buddy, whatever it might have been. Maybe it was at your household, maybe it wasn't at the school setting, maybe it was at your home where you had to take care of your siblings. Now, it's something along those lines, something where you felt overly responsible for your, I'm going to say peer group, but within like a 5 year age range there, which might have been not quite your actual peer group. It's a big difference between 12-year-olds and 7-year-olds, for example. But this idea that that little one is still here alive and well and still holding that level of suffering out of a sense of feeling like they took on too much and like that was just really taxing to their nervous system. And that might show up in this day and age as actually one extreme or the other of like being pretty type A and handling a lot of responsibilities and being a leader in your community, or might be like, I'm gonna check out, go on vacation, take a siesta, very, very type B, but like never have any level of organization together. And some of us actually have a little bit of both going on. There's gonna be some places where you're like ultra leader, ultra showing up in capacity, and other places where you're just like, I don't have that together at all. I think of this as like my cookbook, all my recipes, they're like in mass chaos. Like there's zero organization. I'm decently organized in a multitude of ways. But my cookbook, like, forget it. No. And like there's no way I can organize a kitchen. I don't have that in me. So something like that, where you might have a bit of a split, where there's a little bit of both elements showing up. So as you work with whatever that is for you, there's this part that's learned to essentially be overly rigid in their responsibility that is in need of a different way. We're gonna bring in circulation of all the healing resources and let them know that that actually was too much for them to take on at that age, and they don't need to keep doing too much too soon, too fast. We're releasing the expectation of overwhelm being like just expected. And as we do that, running circulation through the right side of the heart, where this seems to mostly be hanging out, bringing in blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into like all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help to heal the nervous system, the immune system, and really a lot of other areas in our body. Then also working with the balance and the circulation of yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and yang, the masculine essence of protection. Then hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy, and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. And then we're linking this into the ancestral realm, into the bones, into this pattern that wasn't just yours, but it became yours because that was the expectation of your parents who learned it from their parents who learned it from, you get it. We're going back six generations down both sides. And in doing so, releasing, I'm going to call it not just worry, it's actually like mental overwhelm that just became normalized. And it's like, well, I survived that. That was good for me. Look at all it created. Now I can be like a leader in this area of my life. And then the rigidity around that thinking, that mental processing being relatively out of attunement with the nervous system's actual needs. Then we're linking that through to the liver, which is a part of that wood element that can carry some rigidity. Also anger. It also works with our karmic patterns. Patterns that have been shared throughout the ancestry, potentially, but also just showing up in this lifetime. The ones that have been really strongly reinforced in your particular patterning. For this, we're actually going to the organ of the liver, particular on the left side. And there's just this like heavy, sludgy, rigid feeling. And if it could talk, it might say something like, I have to keep going no matter what at all costs, I have to keep going. Overly productive, shall we say. Over, I have better wording, over functioning. Okay, so here, running lymphatic drainage, releasing the low self-esteem, in particular the sense of the only way I'm worthy to receive inclusion is if I give it like my absolute everything. As if I work really hard. And the part of you that's being overly willing to sacrifice for connection, for care, that learned that at a young age, younger than school age, young, most likely like in that first year of life. Now we're actually releasing confusion from the time and space where you figured out how to, or the lack thereof, attach to a regulated parent, caregiver. And because of the lack of that, taking on the parents, caregiver's confusion and making it your own. And amongst us, a sense of the environment feeling really dangerous. And because of that, beginning to develop, like if they're not going to do it, then I'll do it. And that's where the beginning of, I'm going to call it now, hyper-independence behind the parts of you that overly function began. And the part of you that like took on that leadership responsibility amongst your peers, having a sense that you had to be overly monitoring the situation at hand. You had to overly monitor your environment around you in order to be treated with care. And amongst this, almost like a sense of judgment, disgust, of like, for this part, to the lack of care that it wanted to receive but didn't get to, which is where our arrogance comes in around this all. And underlying the arrogance is actually just straight up worry, straight up confusion, straight up, I have no idea what I'm doing here, so I'm going to overly look like I really do have an idea of what I'm doing here to try to navigate that all. Okay, and the arrogance is in particular wrapped around the neck, almost like a cervical collar, if you've ever seen those at like first aid trainings. So we're just going to begin to like a corkscrew this way, unwind it from the shoulders, the neck on up. Recognizing this may not be very helpful. I'm not sure how to describe it, but I don't think the directionality overly is all that important. Just knowing that it's like literally corkscrewing, like in the direction you would open up a corkscrew if your head was the top of the corkscrew or your arms were the bottom of it. And as that corkscrew is off of the neck, there's actually some energy coming out of the pinky finger, a pathway up to the shoulders where the heart meridian runs. And through the thumb to the front of the shoulder where the lung meridian runs, there's a sense of wanting to like punch. I might even imagine getting to throw that punch like slow-mo. Forgive my puppy in the background, he is having a moment with the blanket. And as you throw that punch slow-mo, either arm, maybe even both, one at a time perhaps, the words that go with it are the sense of like, how dare you? Like the audacity of being ignored or overlooked or neglected in these ways. How dare you? Okay. As the punches roll on through, I see the actual arrogance begin to soften. It was almost like a statue, kind of frozen there. It actually frees up some of its energy to move. I'm getting sort of the visual of like a dancing object. Maybe you had something that danced when you were young. Or maybe someone you knew did. But either way, there's just like this sense of movement and aliveness coming through to the neck now. And releasing that rigidity and allowing for an overall sense of flow to happen through here. There's a sense of not having the pressure of having to know how to navigate any given situation that arises with like chef's kiss level of perfection. And we're granting the system permission to not know, permission to not have to know, and to not have to figure it out. To not know and to not have to figure it out. As that moves through, the thoracic spine, on particular the right hand side, begins to come out of a collapse energy, and it begins to find its healthy middle ground, the one that we talked about before, fancy words, vagal tone, as to support that even further. We're going to run a cellular repair on the energetic channel that runs here with the bladder meridian. And further to that, there's another wording of that. And it's not quite Ida and Pingala. Let me say it differently. It's actually both Ida and Pingala. They do this, they sort of like traverse and they crisscross all over the place. So we're actually going to work with both Ida and Pingala, which are meant to, and if that doesn't mean anything to you, please don't let it confuse anything. But they are typically the places where we store the energy that's being not stored in our central nervous system channel, the Sushumna. And we're literally just helping it to loosen up and to flow, and to loosen up the amount of energy that's here by inviting it not to be stuck, to actually flow through the system. So that too can ultimately be met, seen, heard, digested, taken in, and then allowed to come to rest in the central column when it's ready in its own timing. That might be weeks, that could be years, that could be tomorrow, that could be right now. And when it does land there, honoring a sense of really deep stillness. As we work with the central column here, we're also working with the bones that hang out here. And typically, we think of the immune system as coming from like the big bones, like our femurs, but we're actually working with finding the immune system cells that come through literally the level of the bones at the spine. As well as the skull. And including in the spine, the sacrum and the tailbone. And we might even think of the framework of the skeleton as being your framework of acceptance versus rejection. The skeleton is classically thought to relate to the ancestral realms, to the dead. In a way, there's a sense of I can only experience acceptance when I'm dead. I can only fully experience acceptance when I'm dead. And here, interestingly enough, we're circulating the yang, the masculine essence of protection. And in doing so, giving the system enough sense of protection in order to surrender into receiving a deeper layer of nourishment. And that party that we were working with earlier, parts really that were undernourished, but in particular the part that was like mocking, sarcastic. It begins to receive not just nourishment, but protection as a form also of nourishment in its own way. And nourishment becomes, in a way, its own sense of protection. And as it keeps seeping in various forms of nourishment, the imaginary food that you offered it, the protection from the masculine essence, the yang. Which flows through, to a degree, all of our yang meridians, including that stomach meridian. We're running the permissions here, like I can actually stomach life. I can actually stomach life. I see that as releasing, I'm going to say, habitual patterns of nausea, like the things that typically make you nauseous. That might actually be a form of being able to deepen into acceptance of nourishment as that comes to a dull roar, or potentially a light roar, or disappears potentially altogether. As we work with that, releasing the really deep sorrow, grief, pain, hurt, and shock. I'm just going to call it family loss. Like a sense of losing one's ties to one's family because of the lack of attachment that happens. And as that releases, getting to stabilize into attachment yet again. And this is actually going into the experience that you had in your womb and strengthening the bond between you and your uterine lining and supporting your system in being really held here from literally just a few days old. As you do that, releasing the association that got coupled together between receiving support and pressure or lack of space in one's nervous system, which was related more so to the experiences you had in the womb at the very end, right before you became born. And to a degree, that pressure was like a good thing because it helped to, give the signals to support you in releasing the chemicals, the hormones that signaled the contractions that heralded new beginnings through the transition of birth itself. There's a sense here of that pressure lingering in a way that is associated with the pain and new beginnings seeming less like an exciting adventure and more like a painful thing to have to navigate. And a lot of that is actually just steeped in the remembrance of and through the energetics of worry. And there's this idea like, as long as I worry about it enough, then I can avoid pain. Which doesn't quite work that way. You might even look and see, like, hey, have there been times where I worried and it actually didn't avoid pain? And like, hey, does that happen like a lot? And as we offer that information to the system, there's a softening, primarily through the upper back and neck. And there's a release once more of having to be overly responsible by worrying, by overthinking. Okay, interesting. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. And giving that a slow deep breath. Excuse me. We're heading back to the immune system. We're running a few different body chemistries, starting with intolerances to lack of attachment and connection. And this idea of, like, as long as I'm sick enough, I'll be able to stay in connection or attached. And an allergy to literally, on an emotional frequency, to loss of connection. Times in which you've experienced that. And then just general, like, anger, kind of ragey, really, against life itself. For seeming like it's at times really tricky to navigate. It might even feel impossible. Linking into the heart chakra, which works with this theme of acceptance versus rejection. Attachment and connection versus not. And running lymphatic drainage here through the prefrontal cortex, center of high heart. Compassion, empathy, wisdom. Just doing a little cleanup work here, doing an emotional release of sadness through here, as well as through the sphenoid bone, which connects all the skull bones and the entire skull. And forgive the long, spacious pause there. As just seeing the various different cranial bones begin to move and groove. It's like they're all orienting over the opening into the spinal column. They're all reorienting to the center of you, your center. And running with permissions here. The words are just simply, my center invites in connection. My center invites in connection. And I see this alignment going from sphenoid down through the skull bones into the spinal column. And there's like clear passage all the way through down to the tailbone. And then a sense here of that mirroring the birth canal and that space where you actually like felt the full opening of it being like the only point of clarity really in the birth process. The rest of it feeling really illogical, even at times, well, a lot of times, and a sense of like, what is this? What is going on here? I don't get this. The walls are caving in. I'm being ejected from my old home, and I have no idea where I'm going. I might end up like on the chopping block. I might end up dead here. As we release that worry, it's coming off of the left collarbone, where there's often associations with fear of various different levels of receptivity. We're going to tap this part out here. So, invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Excuse me. Yawns are often a sign of state change. I know they're linked in our world to tiredness, but through research, the nervous system is actually just changing state, and it may be like a sign of regulation. It's also a calming signal that you can use with your animals, because it's indicating a state change from often one of stress to a little bit less stress. So my big yawn might just be me taking in this session and having it received. Okay, then we're heading into the crown. The crown chakra, often associated with transcendence. And working with transcendence not as a form of escapism, but actually a form of, and this is going to sound odd at first, getting more into it, but not having it have the same impact. Sometimes this is referred to as descent into the body versus ascent, embodiment. But it's a sense of being able to be amongst it and have resiliency without it overtaking or overwhelming. So, working with the crown chakra from that perspective, I see this again like a clear passage between it all the way down through to the base chakra, the tailbone. And here we need to sync up the four diaphragms in the body: crown of head, base of pelvis, regular breathing diaphragm, and there's one at the thoracic inlet. And to support that, we're actually bringing in circulation of lymph, one more time, through the four diaphragms. And as we do that, cleaning up, in particular, overthinking and overanalyzing around, like, did I do enough to deserve this? Did I do enough to deserve X, Y, Z? Fill in the blank. And amongst that, doing an emotional release of sadness from the base of the neck, C7 vertebrae, which has the most yang, masculine acupuncture point on it. And it works with sometimes, well, it has a few things it's associated with. I'm hopping around a little bit. But I'm gonna mention the part that's most notable for our session today. Which it works with the support of being able to take action that's aligned, not based on history, but based on what's present before us in this particular moment. The support that linking it into bladder one acupuncture points, which I've talked about from time to time, they help us to see the present moment with clarity. And rather than like rose-colored glasses, we actually need to unhook worrywart colored glasses. And as we unhook the lack of clarity, shall we say, the confusion that's here, it comes from again that expectation that history is doomed to repeat itself. But that doesn't necessarily need to be your path. There may be patterns here that continue on, but it doesn't mean that you need to be connected to or attached to that. In the face of navigating a new form of attachment, what you get to be connected to, there may be a new something or other that's here. Keeping that vague on purpose. Then we're unhooking a bundle of belief systems from the back of the skull. And essentially, if they could talk, their theme would be keep your head down and work. Just plow on through. Keep your head down and go for it. Hustle hard. And the thing about that, it was used without discernment. It was used not necessarily for what it is you really valued or wanted. It was just used like across the board, no matter what. Even if I don't want this thing, I should work really hard for it. So whatever was before you, it was just like, don't discern if this is even of value for you or not. Just plow, just work. And it fed that part of you that was used to overfunctioning. Okay, and here we're working with circulation of nerve supply. And we're linking that all the way through this area in the back of the skull. In particular, into the occipital part of your brain, the occipital cortex, the part that it covers up, which is your brain stem, your pons, your cerebellum. And in body talk, we would call it like the cervical portion of your reptilian brain, which connects to our base instincts. So a lot of survival things are here. And the occipital cortex works with the visual fields. And it's like the energy was, I need to survive, so I'm going to be hypervigilant with my vision. I might even be ultimately like super intuitive, super insightful, maybe even psychic. And then we're actually just going to redirect that energy, doing almost like a 180, a reframe of it. To bring in the essence of vision, to actually the seeing easeful ways to move through how to survive. Because the gift of what was developed is that it knew how to see out of the box and knew how to be really creative in its solutions. So being able to do that without necessarily being forced to be on the lookout all the time and being hypervigilant, being able to easily find creative ways through sticky situations. That's linking right back into the birth canal. And not all of you may have been born head first, but I imagine many of you were. And working with that, the theme of I gotta dive head first into things. And how your experience was in your birth related to how it is you dive headfirst into things. And it might be the opposite of that. It might be like, I never want to dive headfirst into things. I'll wait for somebody else to go first and I'll follow their lead. So it's looking literally at how you navigate. and also freeing that up from the pattern's history. I just hear the song Under Pressure. I will not sing it for you. And the pressure actually looks like it's the need to figure things out. Or the other extreme, the need to never think about things. Just running the permissions here. I don't have to, but I get to know if I want to. I don't have to, but I get to know if I want to. Defined by the consciousness of curiosity and the consciousness of agency. So getting to actually choose that adventure. That going back into a really deep remembering of the instinct of, again, that hormonal cascade that was signaled by babe, by you when you were in the womb, that you actually knew how to navigate that. You didn't have to think about it. The body just instinctually knew. Okay, and amongst us all, it's like there's a loosening up of thinking that you need to override your natural survival instincts in your body by trying to manage them to do it better, but by that actually taking away the natural survival instincts response and its capacity to just naturally respond. There's a sense of like being overly responsible and using that to override one's survival instinct, going like, I don't know if that's going to work. I'll do a better job of that. And one might hear the arrogance in thinking that they can do a better job than the wisdom of the body. And one might also hear the pain and suffering that created that and going like, also like, holy moly, you took that on. Like, that's a really powerful thing to try to figure out and navigate. And like, you did that without a whole lot of teaching or resources. And you were able to cobble that together in ways that you were never actually formally taught, but you figured out all on your own, and like, whoa, that's really freaking clever. And doing so, beginning to soften a little bit of that arrogance. If that sounded paradoxical, that's because it is. Okay, interesting. Then we're going to hydrate the midline through the sphenoid down through to the nose, and like the deep nose bone in there, the vomer. It's this fancy name. In between the two is fancy term ethmoid. And then going down through to the upper lip, down through the palate, down through the tongue, the lower jaw, in through to the chin and the base of the lower jaw. All the way down the hyoid, through the hyoid bone, and down through the midline of the neck until it rests just on top of the sternum. And bringing in hydration here to bring in water, joy, releasing of any impurities. This midline area representing trust and the capacity to surrender and how it is you're quote unquote facing things. So I see it as the release of the need to override the natural body's capacity to survive and its instincts. Like, not something you actually need to renegotiate any further. In fact, you get to lay that down. And amongst that, there will likely be a temporary phase of feeling vulnerable, as it's defined by the consciousness of vulnerability. And we're linking it all through to the right hip, which is like a whole new foundation for how it is your masculine protection needs to actually operate. Beautiful. tapping here, breathing here, receiving here. And as that protection surrenders, it's like more nourishment can actually get in, more ease can actually begin to flow, more space can be here to receive, and more capacity and resiliency to simply drink in life and allow for that natural flow of vitality, which is always here. Like the sun behind the clouds. Sometimes we just have to make our way through some of the clouds in order to land there. Giving that a round of breath or two, potentially calling in that resource that you found at the very beginning, if you feel like you need an extra little bit of support. We've got a song that's about 3.5 minutes. The song is called Mama, it's M-A-M-A-N, from the album Dans Koroba, and the artist Dejele Tapa, and I definitely mispronounced things in there, so my apologies to all that. And I'll link the link for the song in the chat feature here. It's an invitation to breathe and to receive. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Each of you carrying the medicine that you do, we're all the richer for it. Thank you. I look forward to hearing how this all ends for y'all. And if anyone would like any additional support, I'm available. So feel free to stick around and happy to connect with you for a little bit. Otherwise, we wish you blessings in the rest of your day and your week ahead. And we will see you next Wednesday. Mwah. Bye for now, loves.